Our Old Testament reading today comes from Amos 7, 7 through 15. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb. With a plumb line in his hand, the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words, for this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophecies there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of a sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' For this is the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
And today is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 14 through 19. A scripture that I'm sure will be familiar to most of you. And as we say when we have familiar scriptures, I encourage you to listen with new ears, to hear new things that might be being said to you. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, who I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had been a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She, that is Herodias, went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with others to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took John's body and laid it in a tomb. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Today's scriptures is one of those that I think a lot of pastors would just as soon never appear in the lectionary passage. It is certainly not a fun story. John, a good man, the man who was telling the world about Jesus' coming, had done nothing but do what he had been told to do. And yet, he was dead. But that's not what I want to really look at today on this story. It is a story of deceit and treachery on many levels. What I want to look at is not just this story, but the fate of prophets. Our first scripture lesson today was the prophet Amos. Amos lived in the time of King Jeroboam II. It was a prosperous time. The rich were getting richer, and the poor were getting poorer. Does that sound familiar? As in so many times when that is the case and things are going well, God had taken a back seat. Oh yes, the high places were there where people went and worshiped, but the worship had become very perfunctory. There was no real following the word of God, the seeking to live in righteousness. And so God called Amos. Amos was quick to tell Amaziah, I'm not really a prophet. I wasn't born a prophet. In those days, many of the prophets were passed from down family line. He said, I am simply a shepherd, living out in the fields in my flock. And God came and said, you need to do this. You need to go tell my people Israel what they're doing wrong. God liked to do that to people that didn't know what they were doing, who hadn't been trained to be prophets. He did it to Moses. Moses was living as a shepherd away from his homeland, away from where the Israelites were, and God sent him back, in spite of him saying, I can't even speak well. God uses people. And often those people end up in trouble because they're speaking the truth. In Matthew 23, Jesus is decrying to the scribes and the Pharisees that you all kill and persecute the prophets, the people that are telling the truth, the people that are trying to tell you what God wants. And it certainly isn't just in Matthew that happens. At least 30 times in Scripture, they are saying the prophets are being killed. And so we come to our story today of John the Baptist. John was sent to herald the coming of Jesus, but also to spread the word of righteousness and justice. And that's just what he was doing. But he wasn't being choosy about who he told. He wasn't just telling the people, the common people. He was telling Herod. I gotta tell you, Herod was not a very nice guy. He was known to kill his kids and anybody that he felt was a threat to him. But for some reason, John spoke to him. John was telling him that it wasn't right what he had done. He actually went to Rome to seduce his brother Philip's wife and bring her back and married her. Very much against Jewish law, because Herod was Jewish. He may have ruled at the will of Rome, but he was Jewish and should have been following the Jewish laws. But John was quick to tell him, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And when the leaders don't know, do what they're supposed to do, how are the people supposed to do what they're supposed to do? And so John had been arrested. But Herod didn't want to kill him because he feared him. But his wife had a different feeling. She wanted him gone. This prophet bothered her. And she wanted revenge. And so she did. It was a tricky way. It was his birthday, and probably him and all his guests were very drunk. And research tells you that the dance that his daughter did was probably not exactly a nice dance. Usually the prostitutes would have done these dances that she did. So she probably got all these men, including her father, a little excited. And he got so excited he promised something that he later regretted. But yes, John was a prophet. And like so many of the prophets, he was killed. Now Amos, we don't know what happened to him, but Amaziah told him he had better get out of town. So if he didn't get out of town, there's a good chance that he too didn't survive. But history doesn't tell us. But do you know, prophets weren't just in the Bible. We tend to think of those prophets in the Bible, although Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and all those as the only prophets there were. But there are still prophets. Back in the 1500s, Martin Luther, a Catholic priest, was not happy with how he saw the Catholic Church going, and he chose to speak up. He had no intention of starting a new religion. He just wanted to make things better. Does that sound familiar? Jesus had no intention of starting a new religion. Jesus just wanted to get the Jewish people to do what God had called them to do. But Martin Luther was kicked out of the Catholic Church, and so we have the Protestant tradition, of which we are all a part. Martin Luther wasn't killed, but he was persecuted greatly. He lost the church that was such an important part of his life. And if we come forward, there was a man named Gandhi, not a Christian, but he was a faithful follower of Jesus. He was known to have said that the only thing that kept him from being a Christian was the Christians themselves, because he earnestly believed what Jesus taught. His teachings were based on the Sermon on the Mount. He was educated in England, and when he went to Africa, he saw the severe racism of apartheid, and he stood up to it, and he was beat and persecuted. And he eventually went back to his home country of India. And there he saw the conditions for his people in India because they were under the rule of England. And he was determined to make a difference, to bring righteousness and justice to the people of India. And so he stood up peacefully. He went to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and using those words that Jesus taught, he fought for his people and made a difference. In the civil rights movement, there were many prophets. When I was in seminary, I had the chance to go to a week-long conference put on by the Children's Defense Fund in Tennessee. And one of the speakers there was a major civil rights leader. His name's probably not as well known, although some of you, if you followed the civil rights movement, may know the name of Fred Shuttlesworth. He was a Baptist minister from Birmingham. He spent a lot of time with Martin Luther King and many of those other people. He survived. In fact, it's just been 10 years since he died. But during the time he was prophesying and telling people that God's will was that all people be treated as equals, that we all have justice and righteousness, 16 sticks of dynamite were set off under his bedroom, and only by the grace of God did he survive. Desmond Tutu, in Africa during apartheid, now an archbishop, spoke the word of God and said, God's desire is that all people be treated equally. A prophet, greatly mistreated because of his actions. But you know, everybody can be a prophet. I looked up the meaning of prophet, and all it means is that you're preaching or talking, telling the truth of God's desire for the world. Every one of us can and should be a prophet. But it's not easy. You could lose friends over being a prophet. If you honestly seek to know what God's will is for our lives and try to let people know that, people that feel differently may come to not like you or even leave you. We've seen a lot of that in the last couple years with the political climate. We no longer seem to be able to speak civilly. We can talk about God's will for our lives without it making enemies, and yet we don't seem to be able to do that. God has called for us to work together to bring about a world where all people know peace and love. That is what it means to be a prophet. But we have to understand just what it is God wants for this world. There seems to be a lot of Christianity right now that is enamored with what they call the prosperity gospel. They're saying that God's desire is that we all have big houses and lots of money. And I'm nowhere in my readings of Jesus do I read that. I read that Jesus wants all people to have a good life. That doesn't mean we need to hand them everything on a platter, but it means we need to make things available for all people to be able to succeed and have what they need. That's what we're called to do, to find ways to reach out and make a difference in the world. And it's sometimes not easy. You know, this is especially the case for preachers. Preachers train to seek to know what God's will is and to preach that. But so many preachers, when they come out of seminary, are afraid to talk about just what they've learned and how they see the world should be. Because sometimes if they do, they lose jobs. Did you know how many pastors, if they're preaching what they honestly believe God wants them to preach, and talking about God's will for the world, if people don't agree with them, suddenly they're preaching politics. When people agree with you, you're preaching the gospel. When they don't, it's politics. But we have to earnestly seek to understand just what it is that God wants us to say, so that we can each find a way. You know, there are simple ways. If you see people making a racist or a sexist joke, you can say, you know, I really don't appreciate that. I don't think that's very nice. If you see somebody mistreating a cashier, step in and say, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. It doesn't have to be big things. But God has called each and every one of us to be prophets, to preach the word of God, to seek to know how God would have this world be. We pray it every week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let us this week and every day of our lives seek to find ways to be prophets, to spread the word of God, to spread the thought of love and peace, justice and righteousness. And earlier in Amos, before the passage we read today, is one of the most famous passages in Amos. And it says, God does not want our assemblies. God does not want us to give sacrifices, because this was still a time of sacrifices. What God wants is us to work for righteousness and justice, for righteousness and justice to flow down like water, to be a running stream. Remember, you too can be a prophet working for righteousness and justice. Amen. At a meeting I was at this week, the question came up, how do we know what the will of God is? How do we know what Jesus would want us to say? And I remembered back to, I think it was a motto in the 70s, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If you always remember to look to Jesus and to the prophets, there's some important information there. Now that means probably having to read the Bible occasionally, and that's okay. That is who we are, people of the Bible, right? Because if we seek to understand fully what God wants, not what we think God wants, but what's actually there, we will learn and be better able to serve our God and to make a difference in the world. Spend a little time this week in your Bible. There's some great stuff in there, especially in the Gospels and in the prophets. And when you do that, use those words you've read to go out and be a prophet. Peace of Christ be with you this day and every day. Amen.
Also with you.